Welcome to the Market Watch. My name is Michelle. Today I'm speaking to Theo Klein from Oxford Economics in Cape Town. And Theo is going to take us through a bit of information on the recent announcements of credit ratings on African sovereigns. Welcome, Theo. Thanks for talking to me.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off. What sort of countries have been rated off late, and were there any surprises?
Yeah, I think, Michelle, since the start of the year, economic growth rates have actually remained strong for quite a lot of African countries, and in some places they've been revised upwards. So we've actually seen credit rating agencies, this is now Moody's, Fitch, and S&P that we mainly look at, we've actually seen them maintaining their ratings on quite a lot of countries, but then at the same time improving the outlook from stable to positive. So that would imply that the government's financial fundamentals are seen to be improving, and that's why they then increase or improve their outlook. And it's been interesting that, you know, we've seen Rwanda, Angola, Ethiopia, Morocco, Cameroon, the DRC, Mozambique, Zambia, just to mention a few, we've actually seen their ratings being left unchanged. So a few surprises here and there that I'll get into that have been downgraded.
Yeah.
But like I said, overall economic growth rates are still quite strong. We still see investment inflows for minerals, renewable energy projects, oil and gas projects, you know, that can still support growth in quite a lot of African countries. Those countries who have IMF programs, we're still seeing them implementing policy reforms, regulatory reforms to not just improve public finance management, but also improve the ease of doing business in their countries.
Yeah.
And then that we also then see as a catalyst for further investment, foreign investment, to then support growth. Michelle, just to give you an idea, Namibia is not the only country looking at green hydrogen on the continent. We also know that Egypt and Kenya, Mauritania, Morocco, South Africa, Djibouti, and Uganda, also just to mention a few, are also looking at green hydrogen projects.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, we've seen ratings being left unchanged in these countries. To just talk about a few standouts, Michelle, I'll start off with...
A quick question in terms of the length of these cycles. When it comes to upgrading, I used to understand that, you know, there's about a 7-year lag, if everything goes right, from a sort of downgrade to get upgraded again. Is that what you're seeing? I'd like to understand some thoughts around the cycles of these up and downgrades.
Yes, look, it does take a couple of years, Michelle, for, you know, government to get them act together and address the concerns that the agencies have. I think if I look across the board at the moment, a very prominent concern that the rating agencies have in common is the foreign currency reserve levels of countries, and then also the borrowing costs, the cost of their debt. And I think that will still take quite a while for countries to really improve, or governments to improve, rather. So I think we don't expect further downgrades over the next 12 months. But for us to start seeing upgrades, I think that could still be further down the line, 3 to 4 years from now. But that's also, as you said, Michelle, if everything works out well in terms of getting economic growth restarted and, you know, improving export growth, so the foreign currency reserves levels can also improve. So I would say definitely still over the medium term, 3 to 5 years from now.
Okay. So take us through some of the countries and the announcements.
So just interestingly, Michelle, I don't know if you know which African country has the highest or the best rating, but that's Ivory Coast. They have the best rating from S&P on the continent, and that's mainly because the S&P is forecasting much higher economic growth. They're forecasting 6.5% growth between now and 2027. Which they then see driven by higher commodity exports that will then lead to a decline in their external and fiscal imbalances. And they also then see, you know, infrastructure investment, ongoing industrialization, improved transport capabilities, and the expanding ICT sector as catalysts for growth in Ivory Coast. And across...
Is that rating? Is it investment grade or sub-investment grade?
It's at a BB minus at the moment, Michelle. So if I remember correctly, that is just above investment grade or a junk status, yeah.
Yeah.
And, they have the best only with S&P across Africa. Then in Fitch, we've seen they maintaining the rating at B minus, same as Nigeria, but then also once again changing the outlook from stable to positive. And this decision was mainly from the viewpoint that Egypt faces reduced external vulnerability, stronger foreign direct inflows, and then also strengthening foreign currency reserves. In Nigeria, their rating agencies are quite positive on the reforms that President Bola Tinubu is implementing. We've seen higher foreign currency inflows. We've seen exchange rate liberalization, and then also the return of more orthodox monetary policy. In other words, just avoiding using the central bank to finance the fiscal deficit when government overspends. So they still remain quite positive on the Nigerian economy going forward as well, based on these reforms that the president is now implementing. Just to give you some idea of or some of the reforms, we've seen the federal government restructuring the fiscus. We've seen them expediting efforts to diversify the tax base. And then, like I said, also relying less on the central bank to fund government's overspending through high interest rates, through high interest borrowing. Then, interestingly, in Uganda, Moody's actually downgraded them further into junk status from B2 to B3. And then they also changed the outlook from negative to stable. But that is mainly as a result of Uganda now increasingly relying on local borrower, local investors to fund its budget deficits. Government in Uganda has consistently put in new supplementary budgets, in other words, unplanned expenditure that has led to further expenditure overruns. And then they, similar to Namibia, actually, they rely more and more on local investors to buy up government bonds and give them revenue to finance the deficit. And this is coming
up. Yeah, on that point, maybe we can quickly touch on Namibia. What are sort of your expectations for the Namibia ratings?
So for Namibia, Michelle, we are expecting continued robust economic growth and a stabilization in the government's debt levels over the medium term. So from this view, we really do expect that Namibia's creditworthiness has bottomed out. In other words, going forward, we really do only expect upgrades from rating agencies in Namibia. A lot of this has obviously to do with the, you know, substantial prospects of oil and gas production, and then also in foreign investment inflows into the mining sector, as well as foreign investment inflows related to the different green hydrogen projects going on in the country. So the economic outlook for Namibia really has improved significantly.
From everything that you said this morning, it sounds like for the continent also, things are really actually looking great and on the upside. Maybe just a quick last question, we have run out of time, is on Ghana. What are sort of their position?
So the last I checked, they have actually not been, there's no review being done on them for this year as yet. So I actually, to be honest, not too sure what's happening there, but they've not been reviewed in 2024 as yet.
Okay. So just a reminder to our listeners, we talk to Theo from time to time, given our trade partners in Africa and our local businesses that are interacting and trade with our neighbors in Africa. So thank you very much, Theo, for talking to us. Always wanting more time with you. So until the next time, thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.